The Adversary, written by Ronnie Scott and read by Nikos Andronikis. A smart man once told me to be careful around gifts, as they're often more complicated than they first appear. The savviest recipients plumb their gifts for hidden questions, such as what secret agenda has been furthered by this gift, and why have I been chosen to receive it? The smart man who said this had just given me a gift, which caused me to regard it with considerable suspicion. It was a birthday gift, and it came to me from my housemate Dan, who explained that although the gift at first may have seemed innocent, it was a month's membership to the Brunswick Baths, a gym 10 minutes walk from our crumbling townhouse. What he really wanted was to give me a reason to get out of the house, something he'd noticed happening much less throughout the winter, meaning he came home from work or his boyfriend's apartment and was not able to spend any time in the house by himself. "But don't stress," he finished. "Nothing's wholly altruistic. Why do you think the gift horse doesn't want you near its mouth? That's where it keeps its money and its motives." I used the gym a few times that month, the deepest dark of winter. But when September came and with it spring, I did not renew the membership. The gym contained too many fluids, too many weird-eyed men. And one day I finished a full 40-minute workout before realizing I had done so while wearing a pair of jeans, a situation that filled me with a queasy kind of terror. No good things come to animals that stop paying attention to their surroundings. It suggested a particular evolutionary fate. But I was reminded of Dan's advice just a few months later, when I happened to meet a few pretty interesting gift horses, and sometimes even had to work out what to do with their mouths. If I should kiss them, scrutinize them, grab a towel and wipe them down? I was often given gifts that summer. Free advice, free rides. And in all cases, these gifts were most completely understood not as magic freedoms being hurled around the world, but always as the leavings of complicated creatures, some of whom wore costumes that concealed their intentions. There was no hiding in our house, and Dan had not been wrong to want me outside of it, at least some of the time. It was a townhouse on Park Street between Lygon Street and Sydney Road, with a half view of the fountain at the north end of the park, the hesitant edge of dirt tracks and bike lock beringed light poles, the thin grassed area that guarded its vast green jogging innards. Behind the sloping balcony, through two windows that clunked, were my room and Dan's room. And downstairs was the kitchen and the weedy little yard. The house was long and narrow, with large bedrooms and loud floors. And I always had the feeling, moving up those shaky stairs, of stepping up and down the house's secret central organ, an old muscle that wasn't going to take it anymore. It was a slow tram into Carlton and a quick walk to Berkeley Square, where I'd recently decided to shop at the tactical hours of dusk and dawn, so I had more chance of running into people from uni and engaging them in friendly conversation. I was definitely not a shut-in. I had this thought all the time. I was just a guy standing in front of a door and almost never opening it, because I'd finished my assignments and SWAT vac and exam block, and also because my youth allowance was at its most effective in funding a life spent quietly indoors.